Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker. We're going to talk today about a book that's called, and I have a copy of it in my hands, Heroes at Home, Help and Hope for America's Military Families. I think, Dr. Meeker, you know how strongly I feel about the military.
Yes.
And the sacrifices that they make to do what they do to protect us. And there's no way to put into words the inconvenience and the fear in some cases and the difficulties imposed on those who are in the military, especially those that are deployed. And we're going to talk about some of that today. We've addressed the military before, but it's time that we did it again. One of our guests today is familiar to our audience, and her name is Ellie Kay. She has been called America's Family Financial Expert. But she's brought along her husband today. It's the first time he has been here, and I met him a few minutes ago. Lieutenant Colonel Bob Kay is with us to discuss a different topic having to do with the military, actually. And Ellie and Colonel Kay are here to speak from personal experience about the unique struggles that I just referred to, faced by military families, and more than that, how friends and concerned people, Christians especially, can help. Colonel Kay, you and Ellie have been married for 24 years?
It was 25 years.
25 years, and you,
yes,
you were in the Air Force for 24.
I was 24. Yes, sir. It was 24 total. That didn't include my 4 years at the Air Force Academy. So it was, and then I was in the reserves for a couple years. So pretty much 30 years all, I was privileged enough to be able to wear the uniform.
And you actually, you went to the Air Force Academy here in Colorado Springs.
I did.
Wow, that's a special place over there.
It was very interesting. In fact, we're here for my 35th.
Are you really?
It's very. It's pretty hard. Thank you very much. It's pretty tough to realize that my hat went up 35 years ago.
And you were a fighter pilot.
Yes, sir, I was.
For how long?
I got to fly fighters pretty much for 30 years. I was able to fly fighters as a contractor for 6 years until I had a pretty strong injury that took me out of the fighter business.
You flew F-4s, I believe?
Among several airplanes. Yes, sir, I did. F-4s, F-106s, F-117s, AT-38s.
You talk about a rush. Mm-hmm. You know, Shirley and I were invited a few years ago to bring six friends and to fly out, and we landed on the Enterprise, the aircraft carrier, and spent the night there. And that was one fascinating experience.
I bet it was, especially landing on that COD, as they call it. That must have been a pretty exciting time.
we had a colonel's room, which was right under the landing deck. And all night long, those young people were coming in and hitting that deck. And I tell you, I got tears in my eyes. I stood out there and watched them take off. These are 23, 24-year-old people. And flying off into the dark and coming back and trying to find that ship out there that didn't have lights on, and to land there, the risk of that, and all the rest, everybody on that ship was working hard 7 days a week. It was amazing for a little bit of money.
Well, I'd say the military gives you a tremendous amount of responsibility very early, and they train and equip you to be able to do that responsibility. It is an environment, I believe, like no other.
Well, I will say it at the end of this interview, no doubt, but thank you for what you did for our country.
Thank you, Doc.
My hat is off. And people know that, don't they? When they're aware of what you've done, there's a level of respect and appreciation today, I think, that certainly wasn't there in the Vietnam era, which I was in graduate school at that time. And I saw the disrespect. It's good to see the military appreciated for the sacrifices.
Thank you. And it is it's very gratifying. And to see the way this country has changed. And I believe personally that Desert Storm truly put the nail on that coffin. If anybody had any doubt as to the veracity and to the capability of the United States military, that was put to bed very strongly during that conflict.
And our Secretary of State is one of those that degraded the military and even since then has done that. You probably don't want to talk about that. Ellie, you, of course, being a military wife, if we can call you that, have written this book, Heroes at Home. How difficult was it to be at home when your husband was deployed, raising seven kids?
Well, it was certainly a challenge. And when I married Bob, I like to say I married the world's greatest fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. And I got a 3-for-1 deal because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I'm America's family financial expert. So I am always out for a good deal. And I got a great deal in marrying a wonderful man. And I inherited two beautiful stepdaughters. Mm-hmm. And then Bob was in the reserve at the time we married, and he wanted to go into the actives full time. And he said, let's go and join the military full time and we'll see the world. And what he actually showed me was 5 more babies in the first 7 years of marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we took the show on the road because we moved 11 times in 13 years.
Oh, my.
And what I found was that I feel like personally, God created me to be a military spouse. I did not have a vast military background coming into that. My dad was in the reserves, and I never even knew when he went away for 2 weeks in the summer. It was hardly a blip on the radar screen. But when I married my husband and we started moving around all the time and he was gone and I had to take care of the children by themselves. We homeschooled because the kids had no continuity. They would be pulled out of school every single year. So I homeschooled for 7 years to give them that continuity. But I realized that whom God calls, he also equips. And he called me to be a military spouse. He equipped me to be able to handle that lifestyle. And it has been a distinct honor and privilege. I find it a little bit emotional, but to be among that group of military spouses that provide a foundation for our military troops, whether you're a spouse or a mom or whatever role that you serve, America really does appreciate you.
Well, you've written here about heroes at home. You're one of those heroes.
Thank you.
And I think everybody ought to know it. Now, the question that if I took things in order that I should have asked first is with regard to your seven children. You've got 3 that either are in a military academy or were. And, of course, you're married to one. So tell us about those 3 kids.
Right. Well, the oldest military son is Philip, and he went to the United States Naval Academy. When he graduated from there, he became a Marine because you're either commissioned into the Navy or into the Marine Corps. And he became a Marine. And he's serving right now in the Marine Corps. Then we have Jonathan, who's at the Air Force Academy right here in your backyard. Mm-hmm. He is currently a junior there. He's a glider instructor pilot, among other things. And then our baby boy, our youngest, went to West Point. And so he is what's called a plebe. That means that's his first year. So he's out there serving in the Army.
Your contribution to this country is enormous. Do people respond to you that way with appreciation when they know?
Thank you so much. People are very appreciative, and I'm just one of many moms out there, many spouses out there who serve in different capacities, and there's a lot of moms that are sending their sons and daughters to harm's way, and those are the ones that I try to help our community, our citizens, give a lot of support to because they need it as much as the spouse and even children who are sending parents. So there's a whole community of people.
In fact, you have one son who is going to be deployed. Will he be in harm's way?
We have a son who desires to be deployed, okay, and he is currently finishing up his training, and he wants to go to the unit that is deploying the most quickly. So he's a Marine. He desires to get out there. And
you had
get
a little
deployed.
Conversation with him about
well,
that.
Well, I asked him if he couldn't be a cook. I said, don't they have cooks in the Marines?
Yeah.
You know, and he said, no, Mama, that's not what I'm called to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, Ellie, and as I'm listening to you talk, I think as a non-military person,
and a non-military wife, it's really hard for us to understand what you would go through on a day-to-day basis. And I hear that you moved 11 times in 13 years. That's an enormous transit. That's one of your major life stressors. I think it's shortly behind death and divorce, but making a big move like that. So how did you cope during those really lonely days when your husband was gone with all those kids? What would you draw on?
For me, Dr. Meeker, it began and ended with faith. Mm. Everything began with faith and it ended with faith. And either I believe who God says he is and he is able to protect those I love, or I don't. Mm. And if I believe that God can protect my husband or my children at times of war, then I can believe that he is worthy of my trust, that he can handle my fear, my worry. I give it all to him. And that my children or my husband is just as safe driving to a movie theater or a post office as they are going off to war. And I truly believe that. That is the message that I try to communicate, even in a secular setting, among our military families.
Mm. But women depend heavily on relationships for emotional stability. I think more than men. Women have to have friends. And to lose them every year, and you don't really lose them, but you do because you're not with them, and then start over with people you don't know. Isn't that a tremendous challenge?
That is a challenge. And yet one of the things I find that is so amazing among the young military families today, you know, we're talking 19, 20-year-olds that are being called to do almost the unthinkable, all of the moves, sending a spouse into harm's way multiple times, birthing children alone while their spouse is across the world. These things that we're asking of these young women in particular is pretty amazing. And yet, you would be so proud if you saw what I saw. I see these young men and women rising to the call of our nation, rising to stand in the gap and to be able to be the ones that support their military member when they go off to war. And they do it through community. They do it through relying on each other. There are military programs that support the family. And even now, with sequestration and budget cuts, some of those are being cut. But still, the military families, the spouses, they hang together and they support each other. Even if it's being done long distance, mm-hmm. we are still supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. Colonel Kay, you have a strong faith.
I do.
Just in the few minutes that we were talking before we started the program, I was impressed that you have a strong faith. How did your faith carry you during those times when you were away from Ellie and your children? That must have been extremely hard for you. You know, many times we think, well, what a romantic job to have, flying around in these very fast planes. It's sort of like every man's dream is to fly one of those. But it isn't. It's hard and it's grueling. So how did your faith sustain you?
When Ellie and I were married, we made a commitment to have our marriage God's way, to raise up our children in the faith, to abide by biblical principles. We read this book called Dare to Discipline. It really helped a lot, too, believe it or not.
I've heard of that one.
That's a strange guy.
Bringing up yeah. boys. And so yeah. we had a little help. But it was—
You know, that book was written 43 years ago. Mm. And it is still on the shelves today.
As it should be. Oh, yes. And the message is more relevant and needed than ever. But so we had made that commitment. We had already purposed that that's how we're going to do business. Now, I will tell you, people in the military, especially in the community I was in, even when they're not deployed, they're working 12-plus hours a day. Mm-hmm. So just the day-to-day, and our sons are seeing that. Our Marine son is seeing that as he finishes up his infantry officer training in the Marine Corps, which is extremely grueling and very difficult. And so I think that when you just look at the demands that are made on a day-to-day basis, and that doesn't even count the long and frequent deployments that we've seen in the last 10-plus years. So we purposed to do that. We made sure when we moved that we found a good church That was one of the first orders of the day, was to find a tremendous church that we could grow in our faith. We would also go to Bible studies. Officers Christian Fellowship was a tremendous resource to us for many years, other Bible studies through our church. So there was there were tremendous resources, not just scriptural or church type resources, but also when we would be with other people of like-mindedness. And when you stood up for your faith in the military, I have found, mm-hmm. you other people will see that. And even those that are not Christians or not quote-unquote religious eventually would respect where you came from, to the point of where they would swear, and then they would say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask them not to swear. They knew that I didn't, and they knew that where I came from and what was important in my life. And I found a lot of people would respect that. So that's a long answer to your question. But so there are a tremendous amount of spiritual and other type of resources that are available to the military.
Mm-hmm. I find that absolutely fascinating when you talk about that. And I think that it would seem to me very natural that men and women who are pushed to the limit physically and emotionally, as so many in the military are, who are in danger of their lives or being hurt at any moment, to me it would be a natural thing that a faith would emerge. But it seems now that the military is sort of going in a different direction, and that kind of is being discouraged. Would you say that for men and women in the military to quiet their faith or not have a faith or grow their faith?
There have been some challenges. I think we see a lot of things in the news that tend to be sensationalized, quite frankly. Now, that's not to say that there have not been recent events that would call that there are a lot of questions. But I will tell you, our experience has been, and our sons are still confirming this, that faith is alive and well in the military. I think we will see it continue to be alive and well. The "there are no atheists in foxholes" is as true today as it's ever been throughout the history of man, maybe. I mean, that. So I would submit that although we do read with concern, and it's valid concern, but that's why we have congressmen, that's why we have senators, that's why we have, as citizens, we have constitutional guarantees, and we do have ways that we can voice our opinion. And I will tell you, I believe that the opinion of Christians is starting to be heard more and more. There's nothing like being under assault. The church grows the most during times of persecution. And I believe that we are seeing a very significant, I don't know if I'd call it a backlash, but I do think an opposing force which is growing, because faith is important to people. It doesn't have to be one specific faith, but people that have their faith, it's important that they be able to exercise that. And the military is no different than any other place to do that. So I believe that we're going to see some changes.
That's wonderful.
Good changes.
You don't sacrifice your First Amendment rights, especially freedom of religion, when you join the military.
That's correct. No, you don't. And I will tell you that the military, and I'm using the broad term of the military, my experience, of course, was in the Air Force. So the Air Force was very good in my 20 plus years in it of ensuring that people were protected for their basic rights as citizens and of military members. I was very proud of the way we would do that. And as a commander, there were many times I had to, unfortunately, bring discipline upon people in my unit for times when they didn't abide by that or they went against.
My impression is that under the Obama administration, those rights are under greater assault than there ever have been. That may not be fair. I'm not in the military. I was at one time. But that's my impression, fairly or unfairly. Ellie, in writing this book, this is the third edition of this book. So you have gone back in and rewritten portions of it, but it's at what, the eighth or ninth printing?
Right. It's kind of an evergreen among military families, because every year we have 100,000 more new people that sign on to the military. So there are all kinds of new families that are wanting to know, how do I do this military lifestyle? And so also things have changed since I originally wrote the book. So we're updating it on a regular basis because the ops tempo, that means the deployment schedules, have really changed in 10 years. Now they're deploying far more frequently than they did 10 years ago. The reserve component has changed tremendously in the last decade because of the war. And the demands made upon that type of unit are pretty incredible as well, because civilians are called off to go deploy for a year at a time. And these could be doctors and lawyers that are leaving a job, taking a pay cut, and, you know, having to navigate all of that in the process.
How does a wife, a mother, deal with the scenario that I described earlier of having to pack up again and again and again, and take her children out of the familiar environment, leave her friends? Maybe she's working and that's what keeps them alive financially, and she's got to give up her job and move to somewhere. How does she deal with the stresses of that?
Different moms, Dr. Dobson, deal with this in different type of ways, and different spouses cope in a variety of ways as well. It is hard to find jobs. That's why a lot of times our military families are having trouble financially, because just about the time that you've been someplace for about a year or two, then you might have to pack up and move and find a whole new job and so forth. And yet, one of the things I'm finding is that a lot of these spouses are kind of launching their own home-based business so that when they move to a new place, it's not such a liability, because now they have a whole new crop of potential customers that they can visit and appeal to. Other moms are coping by continuing their education and transferring credits to be able to do that. And then, of course, there's volunteering. That's what I did. For me, I mean, to be really honest, volunteering was the only break I got from all those kids. And they paid for my volunteer hours. And yet, God used that to birth a whole new career field, because my very first book was Shop, Save, and Share. And that was the seminar that I was giving in the military. It was improving the quality of life among military families.
Shop, Save,
and Share. That was my first book. That was 15 books ago and 14 years ago. And it birthed a whole new career for me.
You speak on military installations, don't you?
Yes, I do. I speak literally around the world, and I've gone everywhere from Germany and England and even in China, speaking to expats at the embassy out there, and then all across the United States, Alaska, and Hawaii as well. And I love speaking to military families. They are the most appreciative audiences, and I am a seasoned veteran, to put it nicely. I'm older than them. And when it comes to a 21 or 22-year-old, clearly I am old enough to be their mother. But when I tell them that I did the same thing that they're trying to do with their little 9-month-old and maybe a 2-year-old, they look at me and they say, well, if Ellie can do it with all of those kids, then maybe I can do it too. And that's why the subtitle was Help and Hope for America's Military Families, because I try to encourage these young troops that, yes, this is just a season, and this is a short season. They may be in for 4 years, and they may even be in for 20 years, but it's still a season nonetheless. And it's one that they can make the most of, and great things can emerge from that season of life.
Mm-hmm. I really hate to butt in at this moment. There are times when a short 30-minute program just goes by too fast, and this is one of them. We're going to ask you to be with us next time because there's a lot more to talk about. But what you've had to say is very, very helpful, and I appreciate you being with us. The title of Ellie Kay's book is Heroes at Home, Help and Hope for America's Military Families. It's been reprinted, gone back to press, I think 7 or 8 times, and this is a very useful, helpful book, and I recommend it. Thank you, Ellie Kay, and thank you, Colonel Bob Kay, and you all look like you're going to make it, and that is exciting to us. I appreciate your traveling here from California.
Thank you. It was great being with you today.
Thank you, Doctor.
Wow. Can I just say to you, Colonel Kay, I am so impressed by the strength of your family. Not only did you serve in the Air Force, but if our listeners will remember, 3 of your children are currently serving or attending service academies. And Ellie, you proved your strength by raising 7 children as a military wife. That is incredible. If you're the spouse or family member of a deployed serviceman, and you need someone to talk to, please call us. Our number is 877-732-6825. We want to be there for you, and we especially want to pray with you. And if you want to learn more from the vast experience of the Kay family, order a copy of Heroes at Home by Ellie Kay. This book is teeming with practical advice for military families and those who want to reach out to them during times of difficulty and deployment. You can get all the information about this book on our website, drjamesdobson.org. Family Talk is honored to help shed light on the difficulties faced by our servicemen and their families. If you'd like to partner with us as we tell the stories of people like the Kays, please consider donating to Family Talk. With your help, we can give a voice not only to military families, but to people facing all kinds of struggles. You can give online at drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or simply by calling us at 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in again tomorrow to hear more from Colonel Kay and Ellie Kay as they open up about the struggles of a military family. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.